Praise God. We are so blinded by sin when we're not saved, but as soon as we get to see the Savior and we ask Him in our hearts, we can see, and it's a blessing to have Him in our hearts as a part of our lives. We're going to stand and sing the welcome song. There's joy in serving Jesus. If you'll please stand with me, we'll sing that chorus through a couple of times and give the choir a chance to head on down.
Thank you, Brother Mike. And it is good to see you here. I'm looking around at some of the folks that some of you have gotten your shot and feel comfortable to get out again. And we're glad to see Dan and Joanne and Joy here, and glad to see Bob and Cheryl, and Jerry's been here. And pray for some of the elderly. And by the way, there are, and I want everybody to feel comfortable. If you feel you need to wear a mask, that is fine. That is fine for you to do that. And we're grateful for those who are beginning to feel comfortable to come back to church. And we're glad you're here today. I know the weeks that we were out, we watched the live stream. Of course, I was here. I had to come here and preach so you could watch the live stream. But there was one Sunday that I was sick at Thanksgiving, and Brother Warren Storm preached for us, and I watched it. And that's good, but it's not the same as being here, is it? And we're glad you're here. Appreciate each one of you. Well, each month we take a passage of Scripture and we work on memorizing and meditating. Last month we picked a few verses here in Ephesians chapter 5, and we were working on verses 18 through 22. This month we're working on verses 23 through 28. So if you'll join me, we'll say those verses together. Ready? Ephesians 5, 23 through 28. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Ephesians 5, 23 through 28. Thank you. Glad to have Brother Stephen Moore come and sing for us. Today is his anniversary. How many years?
Brother? 6 years.
6 years, all right. She's put up with him for 6 years. Can you believe that? And she is due any day. She's not here today, but she is due any day. They're having a home birth, so pray for her and pray for their family. And Brother Stephen is going to sing for us this morning. God bless you.
The mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. God. the truth of all we call unknown. All the best and worst of men won't change the Master's plan. It's God's and God's alone. God and God alone is here to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives deserve its truest praise. For God and God alone. God and God alone will be the joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire. Our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives deserve its truest praise. For God and God alone. Let everything that lives deserve its truest praise. For God and God alone.
Amen. Thank you for that good song, Stephen. I appreciate that very much. God and God alone. We're going to stand and sing the hymn, Near the Cross. We were talking in our Sunday school class about this, our revival praying, and that's one thing we want to remember is just to pray that God will keep us near the cross and to keep us close to Him. If we'll stand, we'll sing that hymn together, page number 65 in your hymnal.
Jesus, I'm
thing this morning. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning. For our scripture reading this morning, we're in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for these verses in this passage of Scripture. Thank You so much for the word confidence that we have in You, that we can have in You, that when we pray according to Your will, that You promise that You hear us. Lord, I just pray that this morning that would be a reminder to us that when we pray, that we are praying according to Your perfect will and plan, not our own desires and needs and wants, but Yours. We just pray that we would live our lives in accordance to Your will and to Your plan. And Father, I just pray that we would pray that way as well. Lord, I just pray that You would be with our pastor this morning as he speaks. Fill him with Your Holy Spirit and use him in a mighty way as he speaks to us. And just help our hearts and minds to be open to what it is that You have for us. And we'll give You all the honor and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Joy, my eyes. enjoy my righteousness, and I love you, Lord, and I love you, Lord, and I love you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Kristen. We appreciate that good song this morning. We want to continue our study in the book of 1 John. It's amazing how when you study through books like we have been here in 1 John, how you go through different subjects and themes. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about salvation and how to know for sure. In fact, all of 1 John deals with that. But in the last part of the book, he deals with some individual things. And in these two verses that we're looking at today, we want to talk about the boldness in prayer. John talks about this matter of prayer, and he says to us again there in verse 14, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Don't you like to know when you pray that God hears you? Amen. This is the confidence, he says. And then he says, "If we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." One of the most important subjects in the Christian life is prayer. If we want God's blessings on our life, then we need to learn to spend some time with the Lord in prayer and get to enjoy the genuine fellowship with the Lord when we're talking with him in prayer. We have to know something of the dynamics and the power of prayer in order to do that. Now, we all would agree Bible study is also a very important part of our Christian life, but Bible study is always tied together with prayer. Prayer and Bible study, they go hand in hand. When I read the Bible, God talks to me. When I pray, I talk to God. And what a privilege that is, that God would talk to us and that we can talk to God. The blessings of God come down into our lives as we go to him in prayer. The songwriter wrote the song, and you know the words of it, many of you. "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Closely coupled with the subject of prayer is the subject of confidence or boldness before the Lord. Three times previously in the book of 1 John, he has talked about our confidence before the Lord. If you go back a few chapters, look at chapter number 2 and verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, and look at verse 28. And he tells us there that we can have confidence before him and not be ashamed at his coming. He says in 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." We talked about that several weeks ago. If we are following the Lord and living for him as we ought to, when he comes, we can stand before him with confidence and not be ashamed. Amen? How many of you want to be confident and not ashamed when you stand before the Lord? Absolutely. And John says that that is possible for us. Look at chapter 3 and verse 21. He talks about confidence again. He says in verse 21 of chapter 3, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." We can have confidence toward the Lord, he says, if our hearts condemn us not. In other words, if we have a clear conscience, if we have everything right between us and God, we can have confidence with him. And then look at chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 John 4 and verse 17, he says, "Herein is our Lord made perfect, that we may have boldness," that's the same word, confidence, "we have boldness or confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." We can have confidence, we can have boldness in the day of judgment. Confidence or boldness is a part of the Christian life. One of the characteristics of the early Christians, as you study through the book of Acts, is that they were confident and they had boldness. With great boldness, they gave witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were constantly praying that God would give them boldness in their witness, and God would give them boldness in their life. You and I have the privilege as the children of God to witness to lost men and women with boldness. We have the privilege in America at this point of being able to do so with openness and freedom of speech. We may not always have that freedom, but thank God we still do. And God wants us to do that with boldness. But also we have boldness or confidence when it comes to this matter of prayer. When we approach the throne of God, we can come with boldness. We can openly talk to God with confidence. He tells us in Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. We don't have to fear about what we talk to God about. We can talk to Him about anything. In fact, if we have the relationship that God wants us to have, that personal relationship, He is our best friend. And we can talk to Him as our best friend and express our feelings and our desires and our concerns. And God wants us to have that confidence or that boldness. In fact, He says in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. God says, don't cast away. Don't give up your confidence. Don't give up your boldness. Now, I realize sometimes that prayer is difficult. It's not always easy to pray. In our busy world in which we live today, it's a problem sometimes just to find time to talk with God as we ought to. We have so much going on in our schedules and our work and all of that, and sometimes we struggle just finding the time or taking the time. But it's interesting, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they did not ask the Lord to teach us to preach. They didn't ask the Lord to teach us to witness. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. There are no PhDs in the school of prayer. You enroll in the school of prayer at the beginning of your Christian life, and you continue to learn and to grow in prayer all the way through your Christian life till you go home to be with the Lord. So how is it possible then for us as believers, for us as Christians, to have boldness in prayer? How is it possible for us to have boldness when we approach the throne of God? We can be bold in our praying when we understand at least three things that are given to us here in these two verses of 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. First of all, we need to understand the direction of prayer. The direction of your prayer, of our prayer. If you look at verse 14 again, he says there, and this is the confidence that we have, what's the next two words? In who? In Him. What's the direction of our prayer? It's in Him, isn't it? It's towards Him. When he says in Him, the word in, the preposition in, can mean before or towards. There are some words that are translated as in different words throughout Scripture, and this is one that can be translated before or towards. In other words, this is the confidence that we have before God. This is the confidence we have toward God. This is the confidence we have in God. We place our confidence in Him. It's a preposition that gives to us a very, very intimate contact that we engage in prayer, a very close relationship with God. You know, if you're going to share your innermost thoughts with somebody, you got to really know them, don't you? And God wants us to know Him in that way, that we feel comfortable coming to Him and understanding that He is our God and He loves us and He cares for us and He wants to have that kind of relationship with us. You see, I do not know where heaven is. You ever stop and think about that? Where's heaven? You say, well, heaven's up. Well, what if you're on the other side of the world? Up's not up then, is it? I mean, it's up for them and it's not. You understand what I'm saying? We don't know exactly where heaven is. I don't know how to charter a plane or a bus and take a trip to heaven. But I do know this. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. When I pray, I can have assurance in Him that I'm talking with Him. When Jesus prayed in the New Testament, the Bible says He lifted up His eyes toward heaven. He lifted up His eyes toward heaven. So the idea is it's up, but the idea is also that there was an immediate, intimate relationship or contact that He had with God the Father. The direction of our prayer, it's toward God, isn't it? Now, it suggests several things. First of all, The direction suggests our acceptance. If we're directing our prayer towards God, it suggests that we are accepted by God. If we're in fellowship with God in prayer, we are in the presence of God, aren't we? One of the things that I comment about sometimes in funerals, when our loved ones pass away and they know the Lord, where are they? They are with the Lord, right? So they're in the presence of God. When we pray, where are we? We come into the presence of God, don't we? Amen? So if they're in His presence and we're in His presence, we can't be very far apart, can we? And God wants us to have that intimate, close relationship and to understand that we come into His presence and we are accepted by God. In other words, God's face, when we pray, God's face turns towards us and we are accepted by Him. He listens to us. You suppose God has much to do? There's a lot going on in not only in our world, in the universe, in the universes. And yet to think that He listens to me. How many people are on the world, on our earth now? 5 or 6 billion people? A lot of people. And you and I are one out of all those people. And out of all of them, He listens to me. He doesn't listen to you, but He listens to me. No. He listens to you. And you know what's interesting? He can listen to all of us at the same time. Have you ever been in a room where everybody's talking at the same time, it seemed like, and you weren't really getting anything? You don't have to worry about God. He can understand and He can listen to all of us. In fact, this morning, in different parts of the country, people are talking to God and God's talking to them at the same time. And they're different time zones around the world. And so, you know, it's kind of like we'll get through our time zone the next time and the next time and the next. Can you imagine? I don't think we can imagine what it would be like for God to be in heaven. He listens to the folks on the Eastern time zone and they get to praise the Lord and sing and praise and pray and listen. And then that gets done. And then the next group comes and they sing and pray. And then the next group and they're all around the world. You know, I've visited a number of foreign mission fields, and I remember several times when I've gone to the Philippines and we've had services there, and I've called Vicki at the end of the day to tell her how our Sunday went, and she's come to church on Sunday morning. She's not been to church yet because of the different time zones. But God can hear all of it, can't He? He hears me. He listens to me. What a wonderful thing to consider. God invites me to pray, and He hears me, and He listens. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, Jesus said, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet." And He said, "Shut thy door, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." God sees us and hears us when we pray. When we pray, we're invited by God to talk to Him. We're invited by God. If He sees us, then we are in His presence, aren't we? There are countless verses in the Bible that encourage us, challenge us to pray. We have a God to whom we can go. We have a God to whom we are accepted. In Hebrews chapter 19 or chapter 10, verse 19, He says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." We can come to God in prayer because of the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross and paid for our sin, purchased our redemption, and made that access for me and for you to come into the presence of God. Jesus opened up the way for us to go into the throne room of God. And I'm thankful that I don't have to have a priest, and you don't have to have a preacher, and we don't have to have anybody else to go to God for us. We can go to God by ourselves. In fact, Paul said to Timothy, he said, "There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Psalm 65 and verse 2 says, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." We can come to God. He hears our prayer. I'm talking to a God who has manifested Himself to me as the Father. I'm His child through the new birth, through salvation, through my personal experience with Him. And as a child of God, I can come to Him. And as His child, I can overcome the reluctance to come to God. He wants me to come. And we can lay hold of God and share our burdens and share our needs. But I want to say that when we do pray, We are not trying to overcome the reluctance of God. Some people have the idea, boy, if I just pray hard enough, God will change his mind. In fact, God wants to change our mind, doesn't he? And our heart. And sometimes, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on, God answers immediately, and sometimes he doesn't answer right away. Sometimes it takes God time to change us to get us ready to answer what we're asking for. So the direction of prayer suggests our acceptance. Secondly, it suggests our access. Our access. You and I have the privilege of walking into the presence of the God of the universe. Now, when you think about our position in this world and our relationship to the world around us and all that's going on, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that we are like a drop in the bucket. You know, we're like a sand on the seashore of the shores of the world. We're like a speck of dust. And yet the Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, you and I don't have access to very many important people in this world, do we? You can go, if you could get into the White House and get into the Oval Office, you might sit in the outside and wait for days and days and days and never get in. Because we don't have the access, right? But you know what? We have access to God. We can come to him at any time. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 2, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." We have access to God because Jesus Christ has opened the door for us to come into him. And then not only our access, but our asking. The direction of our prayer suggests that we are asking. We're asking the Lord. In the end of verse number 14, he says that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we ask, God hears. Now that's the Bible's simplest definition of prayer. We ask, and God hears. And that's a wonderful truth. You see, prayer is asking God. Prayer, of course, is many other things, but one thing it is, it is asking God. Aren't you glad you can ask God? You know, we got on our phones this little thing called Siri. You know, and you ask Siri a lot of things. One time, one of the bus kids, they didn't know what all I did around here. I said, "Preacher, what do you do?" And I said, "I'm the one that gives Siri the answers to all the questions that everybody asks them." "You do." But you know what? We do have somebody that has all the answers, don't we? And we can ask, and he hears. Prayer is asking. Sometimes prayer is praise. It's a wonderful thing to be in the presence of God sometimes and not ask for anything. Just praise him. Just adore him. Thank him for all that he's done. Prayer is also thanksgiving. Part of our prayer ought to be to give thanks. We come into his presence. We thank him for answering our prayer. We thank him for our salvation. We thank him for the material blessings that he's given to us. There are many things that we can do. Mainly, prayer is making our request made known to God. I want to say this. If prayer is asking, then prayer is definite. Prayer is definite. And one of the reasons why we do not get answers to prayer is because we are not definite with God. Too many times we are vague. We pray something like this. We pray, "Lord, would you please save all the lost people in the world?" That's not very definite, is it? Or maybe we pray and we say, "Lord, would you bless us today?" Or, "Lord, would you bless our service today?" Let me ask you a question. If God answered that prayer, would you know it? And if he did answer it, how would you know it? You see, we're so vague, we're not definite in our praying. And so prayer is asking, but it is definite. We're to ask God specific things, and when we do, God will answer our prayers. Well, that brings me to a second thing that I want you to notice this morning. That is the condition of prayer. What is the condition? We've seen the direction. What is the condition? There are certain laws that govern answers to prayer. God has given to us certain guidelines in his Bible that we must be willing to follow those guidelines in order to bring our request to the Lord and in order for him to hear and answer our prayer. What are the conditions? First of all, we must pray believing. We must pray believing. Hebrews said that we come to him believing. Him that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Matthew 21:22 says, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Believing's an important part of prayer. We must believe that God is and that God hears. Let me ask you something. If you don't believe there's a God, then what's the sense in asking? Amen? So it starts out with believing that he is and then that he's going to hear and answer our prayer. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth. The man to whom he was seeking, who was speaking there, Jesus in Mark 9, he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I have. There have been times when I was praying about something, I was struggling. I said, Lord, I know you can do it. Help my unbelief. If we're going to have our prayers answered, we must pray believing. Now, these things that I'm sharing with you, these conditions of prayer all fit together. When you say prayer is believing, that doesn't mean, boy, if I can just muster up enough faith and just believe hard enough, God will do anything I want. I'm going to believe that God's going to give me a Rolls Royce. And if I believe, that's not what it's talking about. The conditions all go together. The second one is that we must pray in the name of Jesus. We pray believing, we pray in the name of Jesus. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. When we pray, we must be able to say, Father, I believe that this prayer is a prayer that Jesus would pray. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we are praying in his name. That means we are praying in agreement with his character. You see, you can't ask God to do something that violates his character. You know, there are some times when people do things and some of them start with a P, politicians. Sometimes they do things and I think, boy, you know, why doesn't God just judge them? Why don't he just take care of some of these people? If I could just be God for a day, I could solve. There's a lot of good power going to waste up there, you know. We get the idea. Now, that's not what it's talking about. God is not going to do something that violates his name or his character. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus is immutable. He's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes in his character. And if the Bible says God so loved the world, and then I'm praying for God to kill somebody, that's not praying in the name of Jesus, is it? I might tag on the end of my prayer, in Jesus' name, amen, but I'm not praying in his name in agreement with his character. We pray believing. We pray in the name of Jesus. Thirdly, we must pray in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. When I pray, I'm to be in fellowship. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. In other words, the Lord said, if you're abiding, if you're living in his word and his word's living in you, then that's going to affect what you pray for and God's going to answer your prayer. We have to be in fellowship with the Lord. If we're not right with God, if there is known sin in my life, God will not hear my prayer. David said in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. John says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The anything is contingent on the phrase according to his will. I ask according to his will. I ask with my heart being in right relationship. I'm doing God's will. There's not unconfessed sin in my life that will keep me from getting my prayers answered. So if I'm going to ask according to his will, first of all, I must desire God's will. I need to have a desire for the will of God. One guideline for praying is that I want to do the will of God. I desire it. We must want God's will in our life more than anything else in the world. Jesus said in Hebrews 9 and verse 4, he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. If Jesus came to do the Father's will, don't you think he wants us to do the Father's will as well? Again, in John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus desired to do the will of God. And you and I, if God's going to answer our prayers, there's a desire to do his will. We as Christians ought to want to do it because God's will is what's best for us. And I want what's best for us, and God wants what's best for me. And so if I'm willing to do His will, I have a desire because His will is the best. You know the verses in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We ought to be willing to say, "God, you know what's best for me. I want your will because it's what's best for my life. Lord, you know more about me than I know about me. You know more about my life. You are the all-wise God. You are the God of wisdom. Your wisdom is not limited. Mine is so limited and so finite. I therefore desire your will because you know what's best." So we must desire His will. Secondly, we must discern His will. We need to discern. We need to understand. We need to determine what is God's will. When you pray for something and ask God for something, how do you know if it's God's will? Colossians 1:9 says that it is possible for us to be filled with the knowledge of His will. God wants us to have the knowledge of His will. If I'm going to be filled with the knowledge of His will, there are two basic guidelines that He gives to me. First of all, there's the teaching of the Word of God. God reveals His will through His Word. That's why we come here and listen and hear the preaching of the Word of God, because God wants to tell me what to do through His Word. And God will give me direction. Now, that doesn't mean that every time you're praying about something that you just open your Bible and point your finger somewhere and it's going to be the exact thing. No. You study the Word of God and you let God speak to you as you read it, as you study it, as you listen, as you hear. You discern the will of God in the different situations that you face in your life. And then, let me say this. You ought to write this down somewhere. God's will never contradict God's Word. His will never contradict His Word. God will never tell you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. You come to me and you say, "Preacher, God told me to rob the bank." No. He says, "Thou shalt not steal." God's never going to tell anybody to rob the bank. So, "Well, I was just taking from the rich to give it to the poor." Well, you have to be a politician to be able to do that. God's not going to tell you to rob. That's contrary to His will. God's not going to say to me, "Go to grandma's on Sunday," when He says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together." God's will is not going to contradict His word. God's not going to tell me to leave my husband or wife. I had a lady one time, she told me, "God's told me to go to the mission field, and I'm going to leave my husband and go to the mission field." No, God says, "That which God hath, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." God's not going to tell her to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. God's not going to tell somebody to be intimate, related physically with a man or a woman that's not their husband or wife when God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You understand that God's will never contradict God's Word. God's not going to tell you to take that tithe money and buy a new boat, because God says, "Bring you all the tithes into Bass Pro Shop." No, that's not what it says, does it? "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house," in God's house. God's will never contradict His teaching. So there's, first of all, the teaching of the Word of God. Secondly, there's the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There's the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When you pray and when I pray, as we surrender our will to God, as we surrender our will to the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God will guide us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27 says, "The Holy Spirit maketh intercession for the saints, for the saved, according to the will of God." Somehow the Holy Spirit of God impresses on our hearts what God wants us to do. He takes the Word of God and He makes it real to our life, and He gives us the definite promises and the assurance and the direction of our life. And as we seek the will of God, we discern the will of God. And when we know that, we know God will answer our prayer as we pray. And then thirdly, we must do the will of God. We must do the will of God. In His model prayer, Jesus said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen? Do the will. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. God wants you and I to be willing to do. If God clearly makes known to you His will for your life, will you do it? Would you instantly obey God's will? You may say, well, now, preacher, I'm not sure. I need to know what's involved in that. I need to know what all the intentions are. I'm not sure, really sure I would do that. I need to know all the implications that come as a result of that. God's will is not like a cafeteria, that you go down the line and you select whatever your possible choices are. A lot of people think that God lays out His will for them to consider it and size it up and then decide whether or not they want to do it. Listen to what Jesus said in John 7, verse 17. He said, if any man will do His will, if you will do it, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You see, before God's going to let you know what His will is, I'm talking about other than what He's already written for us in His Word. I'm talking about decisions in your life that you have to make that doesn't tell you, thou shalt marry so-and-so, or thou shalt move to so-and-so, or thou shalt take such-and-such a job. You've got to know God's will. But before God's going to show you, you must be willing to do whatever it is He wants you to do. Prayer is a mighty instrument for us to know God's will, and it's a mighty instrument for God to get His will done on earth. There's a third thing I want you to notice this morning, and that is the fruition of prayer. What is the fruit, the fruition, the fulfillment of prayer? What happens as a result of it? Look at verse 15. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. In this verse, the word know is used twice. Twice. Those two occurrences of the word know give us two truths about the fruition of our prayer. First of all, it shows us the assurance of the prayer. The assurance. We know that He hears us. When we have prayed according to the will of God, when we have met the conditions, and when we have surrendered to the will of God, we have the assurance that God hears our prayer. A man was traveling to China some years ago, and he went into a beautiful temple that was built there where they worshiped some various hideous idols. And there was a small throng of, they saw a throng of people, of worshipers there, and they were taking pieces of paper that had something written on them, and they would fold them up, and then they would take mud, and with mud they would put those papers inside of the mud and make a mud ball, and they would throw the mud balls at the idols in that temple. The traveler asked the guide, what in the world does this mean? What are these people doing? And the guide said, these people are writing their prayers to their God, and they throw them at the God, and if it sticks to the statue, their God hears their prayer. And if it does not stick, their God does not hear their prayer. Aren't you glad we don't serve a God like that? Aren't you glad we serve a God that gives us the assurance that when we ask in His name, and we ask according to His will, and we're submissive to His will, we can know that our prayers are going to be answered. There's a second no in verse 15, and that points to the attainment of the answer. He says, we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, and we know that we have, we attain, we receive, we get the petitions that we desire of Him. John says that God answers our prayer. We can know that we're going to get the answer to our prayer. Now, God answers prayer in four ways. Sometimes He answers prayer directly. You pray, and God gives the answer immediately. In fact, there are indications in Scripture sometimes that before we even pray, God's already got the answer on the way. In Jeremiah 33:3, He says, call unto Me, and I will what? Answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isaiah 65:24 says, before they call, I will answer. There's times God's answered before we ever called. In fact, someday we get to heaven, we're going to find out there's a lot of things God answered before we ever prayed about. Sometimes He answers directly, immediately. In Genesis chapter 24, a servant of Abraham was seeking a bride for Isaac. And he came to a water of well, and he began to pray, and he asked the Lord, said, Lord, would You show me, would You help me to choose the right bride to take back to my master for his son? And he asked it for a certain thing. He said, when they come and offer to water bring me water, that they'll offer to water the camels also. You know what? He prayed and asked, and the woman came, and she did exactly what he asked, and God made it very clear immediately on the spot, this is the one that you're to choose and take back for Abraham so that Isaac can marry her. Sometimes God answers immediately. Secondly, sometimes God delays his answers. Isaiah 30 and verse 18 says, "And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you." You know, sometimes there are blessings in God's delays. Sometimes we're not ready. In John 11, Mary and Martha were alarmed because of the sickness of their brother Lazarus. And word was sent to Jesus that Lazarus, the one that he loved, he said, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And Jesus didn't come immediately. In fact, he waited 3 more days to come. He stayed right where he was, and Lazarus died. Were their hearts filled with doubt? Probably they were. They had asked for a definite thing, and the answer did not come. And what did Jesus say when he came? And they said, "If you'd been here, our brother had not died." Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So it may be that the reason God has not answered your prayer is in order that God in some way can greater show his glory to those who are watching and those who are around, so that sometimes God's glory can be seen through our suffering. And as folks watch and see and God is glorified, sometimes God answers, but he delays the answer. And then thirdly, sometimes God's answer is different. Sometimes his answer is different. Sometimes we ask and God answers, but with a substitute. Children can sometimes live from one Christmas to the next. You ever had a child on December the 26th? They're telling you what they want next Christmas already, you know. They're living for the next Christmas, and they say, "Dad or Mom, I'd like to have a bicycle next Christmas. Not a big fancy bike, just a little bike. I just need a little one." And the year rolls around and Christmas comes around and you're out there shopping and you find this good deal. How many of you ever found a good deal? And you instead of bringing a little ordinary bike, you get this fancy 10-speed or 15-speed. Now they got more than that speeds on it. And you buy this fancy bike and you bring it home. And so at Christmas time, the child gets what they asked for, but they didn't get what they asked for, did they? They got something a whole lot better. Aren't you glad sometimes God gives us more than what we ask for? He gives us more than what we even expect. In fact, the Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. In Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8, the Lord said, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession." Years ago, a man made an enormous request to Napoleon. And the request was so great, they said it amazed the entire army. And Napoleon granted his request. And when the soldiers asked him, "Why in the world did you grant your request?" He said this. He said, "He honored me by its magnitude." He honored me by his magnitude. Do we honor God by the magnitude of our requests? Or are we still asking for just a little? Not, I don't need a, you know. Remember that song, "Lord, build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land"? How many have ever heard that song? "Lord, just so I get inside the gates." Just a little, no. What about the magnitude of the request? God said, "In my Father's house are many little cabins in the corner of glory land." Not what he said, did he? "In my Father's house are many mansions." And then sometimes God's answer is a denial. Sometimes he says no, doesn't he? God hears us when we pray, but sometimes he says no. Perhaps God has something else he wants for our life. How many of you have lived long enough to thank God for unanswered prayers in your life? There's been some things that you've prayed for, and later on you look back and you thought, Oh, I'm glad God didn't do that. Sometimes he says no. His answer is a denial. But God does always do what is best. A man was shipwrecked on an island. He began to fly a flag, or he took his t-shirt and he used it to make a flag, and he flew that, and he would sometimes just wave it and try to flag down the ships and get their attention as they would come by, but for no avail. No one saw him and no one would stop. And every time a ship came by, he'd get out his tattered t-shirt and he'd wave it and try to attract the attention of the ship. And while he was on that deserted island, he built a little hut to protect him from the weather and the elements. He found some wild game and some other food to preserve his life. The little hut was all he had. That was it. That was all of his possessions. One day he saw a ship coming. He went running down to the beach and he took off his old shirt and he began to use it as a flag to wave and signaled for the ship to stop. He shouted and waved and shouted and waved, but the ship went on by. Depressed and discouraged, he turned around and headed towards his little hut, only to find that his little hut was engulfed in flames. And he said, "Oh no, how terrible. The only thing that I had is gone. What am I going to do?" And about that time, he heard the horn of the ship blowing. And he ran down to the beach, and there were men there to rescue him. And he said, "I didn't think anybody saw my signal. I didn't think anybody saw my shirt that I was waving at you." And they said, "Not see your signal. We could see a fire and smoke like that from miles away." You see, the answer came, but it came in a different form, didn't it? Aren't you glad we have a God who knows what's best? Sometimes the answer's direct. He says yes. Sometimes he delays. He says, "Wait a while. You're not ready." Sometimes he gives us something different than what we ask, more and better. Sometimes he says no, because he knows that's not what's best for us. The direction of our prayer, it's to him. He accepts us and we have access to him. And we ask. The condition of our prayer, we pray believing. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in fellowship, in right relationship. We have a desire to do God's will. We discern. We want to know what his will is. And we're willing to do it. And we do what he says. And then he gives us the fruition of our prayer. He gives us the assurance. And he gives us the attainment. He gives what we ask for. Can I ask you in closing this morning, how's your prayer life? Is prayer a part of your life? Do you have that intimate relationship? Do you have that relationship that you can come to God at any time and talk to him? Share your needs, your burdens. Share your praise. Share your requests. Can you talk to him about anything? Have you ever felt like, you know, that's too little of a thing for me to ask God? Sometimes people lose their keys. Well, I don't want to pray about that. That's too little. God's not concerned about that. Anybody ever lost your keys and asked God to help you find them? Some of you, like me, we've kind of lost our mind. We're asking God to help us to find it, aren't we? Nothing's too little for God. Neither is anything too big for God. Amen? God could never save my son. God could never save my grandpa. Nothing too hard for God. My God can do anything that's in accordance with his character. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that we can call you our Father. And Lord, if we have the privilege of talking to God himself, how tragic it is that we fail to do it. You long for us, and you created us and made us so that you could have fellowship with us. You don't need anything. You're self-contained. You're self-supported. You're self-sufficient. But yet you've chosen to want to fellowship with us. May we not miss out on the blessing of spending time with you, of talking with you, seeing our prayers answered, bringing glory to you as others see you do great and mighty things. in our life, in our world. Would you help us to pray with confidence and with boldness? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together with me as we sing our song of invitation? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. And as we sing together this morning, maybe you need to come and pray and talk with the Lord this morning. You're welcome to come to kneel here at the platform or at one of these front rows, or you can take a seat there and talk with the Lord. Maybe there's some things you need to get right so that He can answer your prayers. If you're not saved today, you're not in a relationship where you can have access. You see, our access to God is through the Son, Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Him as Savior, give your life to Him. Get in the right position where you can pray. Maybe as a Christian you have to say, Lord, just haven't been praying much. Maybe you haven't been believing much. If God's speaking to your heart while we sing together, you come and do business with the Lord and let Him enjoy your fellowship. Amen. And you enjoy His fellowship. As we sing together, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Sing that next verse with me.
All to Jesus I surrender, only at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Just a couple of announcements before we finish up this morning. I do want to remind you again, there are packets there on the table as you go out to your left. And take some of those, hang them on the doors in your neighborhood. It tells about Easter, tells about the revival meeting, and has John and Romans in there. And so help us get that out and get the word out so that people will know and come. And perhaps some of them will come to know the Lord as Savior. Also, the adult devotional booklet for April, May, and June. There's some in the lobby. There's some back here on the rail by the sound booth, and some over here, I think, on the table. There's some over there. And pick those up as you leave. Those are free, and help yourself to them for the adults. And then also, I mentioned last week about the possibility of changing the date for junior camp. Originally, it was June 14 through 18. We're considering and been asked to change it to June the 21st through the 24th. I have not had anybody say to me that it was a conflict, so if there is a conflict, please let me know about that so that we can try to work all of that out for you. And then don't forget, next, just a few weeks away, Easter Sunday, we'll have a lunch here, Easter meal. You're welcome to stay on that day, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back. We need to know how many are staying. We need to know what you're going to bring. And so if you'll help us out with that, you can get the information there and sign up and be a part of that time as well. Then the ladies' luncheon each year around Mother's Day, we have a special ladies' meeting, and ladies' luncheon will be on April the 17th. The speaker this year will be Mrs. Gail Moore. She is Brother Lonnie Moore's wife from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Nicholasville, and she'll be a blessing to you, and we encourage you to be a part of that. Then don't forget to be praying for the revival, May the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Brother Willette, we're looking forward to him being here. He'll be a great blessing to you, and I hope you'll come and be a part of that. Don't forget your offering today. As we have the offertory in just a moment. We'll ask you to do like we did last week. If you have not already given online or already put it in the offering plate, I know some have already done that. While they're playing, you can come and just place it in the offering plate, and that'll take care of our offering. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. And for our offertory today, Jessica Reisinger is going to be playing the harp and Kristen Miller the flute. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that so very much. Let's stand together for a closing word of prayer. Brother Bob Adams, would you come and lead us in our closing prayer? Don't forget the service tonight. Choir's at 5 and the evening service tonight at 6. I hope you'll be back and be a part of that. And stop by and pick up the devotional booklet if you need and some of the packets to pass out. And have a good day, and we'll look forward to seeing you back tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity we have to come to you in prayer and to send our petitions up to you, to send our concerns and our heartaches. And Lord, we have such possibility, and we're so thankful for the accessibility of a great and a mighty God that has given us the ability to pray and come to you. We love you, Lord, and we ask for a wonderful day today. Ask that you'd continue to work in our hearts. Bring us together tonight, and may we be prepared and ready for your word again. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen.